Our scripture is from Mark 5:23. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Yeah. And now our sermon.
Thank you, Joan, for that song. That's one of my favorite songs, Amazing Grace. We're going to be amazed for eternity with the grace that God has given us to obtain eternal life. And that's wonderful. Before we get started, I would like to tell you how to take notes so that you can give the same sermon. There's going to be 12 things I'm going to mention about Jesus' hands. So all you have to do is number 1 through 12. Then write the name of what I mentioned down, and after that name, write the text that I give, and then you have the same sermon. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us today. The promise that you have given us that you will be with us wherever we gathered, and we come here to worship you on your holy day. We thank you for your hands that created us, and we want to give you all the power and glory. Be with me, send the Holy Spirit in my life that I will say the words that come from you through the Bible in thy holy name. Amen. Okay. Have you ever thought much about the hands of God since Jesus is God made carnate? I want to talk about the hands of Jesus. What do you think about when someone talks about hands? I think of a couple holding hands. Now I would like to say something. When Barb and I went on our first couple of dates, years later, we reminisced about that. And one of the things that she said was, "I was hoping that you would reach over and hold my hand." And I always thought that was so dear, and I always try to hold her hand as much as possible. God always thinks about love when he created us humans. And with the amount of nerve endings that were put in our fingers and our hands, God must have put in some extra special love for us. What do hands do for us? So many functions. Well, what do the hands of God do for us? Blessing, creating, supplying, providing, healing, giving life, and even more. You cannot be saved unless you put your life in God's hands. There are a lot of songs that deal with the hands of God. One of my favorites is, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Others are, "Scars in the hands of Jesus," and "In the hands of God," "The hands of Jesus," and "My life is in your hands," and probably many more. By the time I am finished with this sermon, I hope you will want to trust and place your life fully in Jesus' hands. The first we hear of God's hands is in the Bible is with creation. Point number one, God has hands that create. When God created everything on the first 6 days of creation, he spoke everything into existence. But when it came time to make man in his own image, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2:7, And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Picture Jesus kneeling down and gathering up some dirt or dust, and then forming this creature in his own image. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay. You are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand." When God made man and woman, he did it with his own hands. One of the things that separates us from all other creatures in the world is our hands. Even though monkeys, apes, and gorillas have an opposing thumb, also, the dexterity and complexity that is accomplished with the human hand, there is nothing like it. Have you ever watched an accomplished classical guitar player? If you listen to them, it sounds like there are multiple guitars playing, but it actually is one person who is so accomplished with their fingers and the dexterity that it is so amazing to watch, let alone listen to. There is nothing like the human hand. It can do good or it can do evil. The Bible tells us that you can sometimes tell a person who a person is serving based on how they are marked in the hand. It says those that follow the Lord has the law of God in their hand and between their eyes. The mark of the beast is in the hand and in the forehead, so hands are very significant. Point number two. Jesus' hands are hands of provision. Mark 6:41. And they took the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes, and they gave them to Jesus. They put them in his hands. And he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And he placed them from his hands into their hands, and they set them before the people. And the 2 fish he divided them among them all, so that they ate and were filled. This is a very important principle. Anything that you place in the hands of the Lord has a tendency to multiply, either your physical bread or your spiritual bread. God is every day providing for you from his hands. Psalms 145, 16. You, God, open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hands of God are not only providing for you and me, he is feeding even the sparrows. He even takes care of the mice and the rats. God is aware of every living thing. When we feed the birds, do we do it because God doesn't feed them? No. We do it so we can see them and watch them. If God will take care of the honeybees, don't you think God will care for you? He is a God of provision. Whatever you place in God's hands, you can trust. Martin Luther said, "I have held many things in my hands and lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess." Point number three. The hands of Jesus are the hands of healing. Jesus has healing hands. As a doctor, I have witnessed this many times. In Mark 5:23, "And they begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she might be healed and she will live.'" And the story of when Jesus went to the house of Jairus and he touched the little girl and she came back to life. Mark 8:23-25. "So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town." An extra bonus, Jesus' hands leads also. "And when he spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked if he saw anything. And he said, I see men like trees walking. And he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. There are many stories in the Bible of Jesus healing with his hands. Sometimes Jesus heals with his hands in degrees and not right away. Luke 4:40, and when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Jesus touched people. The leper said, Lord, if you want, you can make me whole. Jesus not only said, be whole, but he reached out and touched the leper. Do you know that in Hebrews there is a doctrine called the doctrine of laying on of hands? It talks about the doctrine of the laying on of hands. There's a time for us to lay hands on people. When we ordain, when we anoint, the Lord tells us to touch. If there is power in the human touch, how much more power is there in the touch of God? Point number 4. The hands of Jesus are the hands of truth. Have you ever noticed that when some people teach, they use their hands more? Some people say, if you tie my hands, I cannot talk. I'm not one of those. When you go and take an oath, what do? Raise your hand. When you do the Pledge of Allegiance, you raise your hand. When you show respect to an officer, you salute with your hands. We use our hands to sign our name. Hands reveal truth. In Revelation, it tells us that Jesus' hands have very unique things in them. Revelation 1:16, I saw in his right hand 7 stars. Revelation 5:1, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. Revelation 14:14, and in his hand a sharp sickle. You look at what is in the Lord's hands, and each has a lot of significance. Point number 5. The hands of the Lord are hands of blessing. You remember the story in the Bible? These mothers brought their children to Jesus and said, please lay your hands on our children and bless them. And the disciples said, no, he is teaching. He is healing. He doesn't have time for all the kids. Jesus was very displeased at what the disciples had said. And the Bible says, he rebuked them and said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, bring the little children unto me. And he took them up in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. When I went to India, people would come up to me and bow their head. And my translator said, they just want you to touch them and bless them, hundreds of them. It was a blessing that they wanted. This is something that was in Bible times. Not only did Jesus bless the children, but when he ascended up up to heaven, he had hands of blessing. Luke 24:50. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed the people. Point number 6. Jesus had hands of forgiveness. When you think about the Lord, do you think about his hands forgiving? John 8:11. And Jesus said, woman, woman, where are your accusers? Remember, Jesus had taken his hands and he was writing in the dust on the temple floor. Has no man condemned you? He says, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is interesting that when God writes something in the Bible, It is very significant. There are three times in the Bible that the Lord wrote. He wrote the law with his own finger and stone. That's something we can't do, can we? He wrote judgment on the halls of Babylon in the book of Daniel. But here he wrote the sin in the dust. Isn't that good to know that our sins are written in dust that can be blown away with the breath of his forgiveness? And so his hands are hands of forgiveness. Point number 7, the hands of Jesus are hands of cleansing. His hands are hands of cleansing. Just before Jesus died, with his own hands, he washed the apostles' feet. John 13, 3-5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from the supper and laid aside his garment, and he took a towel and girded himself. After he poured water in a basin, and he began with his own hands to wash the disciples' dirty feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. The hands of the Lord are hands that cleanse. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord to cleanse our hands. Pontius Pilate, he didn't want to be responsible for the blood of Jesus, and he thought he could take his own hands and wash the guilt of sin away. He said, "I am washing my hands of this deed. It is your problem." You can't wash away sin that way. You cannot wash away your own sin. Only the Lord's hands can cleanse our hands. Jesus' hands are hands that cleanse. Point number 8. Jesus' hands are the hands of protection. The hands of the Lord are hands that protect us. We think of Christ like the shepherd who laid down his life to save his sheep. How many of you remember the stories of angels that protect? Especially angels that protect children. When angels are sent by the Lord to protect us or to protect children, we really know that it is the hand of the Lord that delivers us, right? These are hands of protection that God provides. Psalms 91:12, talking about angels. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Matthew 28:20, God says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is with us with the Holy Spirit. He is with us through his messengers that he sends to minister to and protect us. Isaiah 58:11, "The hands of the Lord protect and guide. He will guide you continually and satisfy your soul." Do you remember the story about Moses, where God put him in the cleft of a rock and covered him with his hands? There is a song about that, saying, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand." The hand that protects us from the glory that would destroy us. Point number 9. The hands of Jesus are hands of discipline. John 2:15, at least twice in the ministry of Jesus, he expelled all the sacrifice salesmen from the sanctuary. John 2:15 says, "When he had made a whip of cords, he said, 'This is my Father's house. This is to be a house of prayer, and here you've made it a den of thieves.' He drove them all out of the temple with their sheep and their oxen. He poured out the changers of money and overturned their tables." It doesn't say anywhere in any Bible account that he whipped them with a whip. That is it. He made a whip, he held it, but he never used it. Even when God disciplines, he never actually strikes someone with his hands. Did God discipline Jonah when Jonah ran from God? In order to save him, God sent a storm and then had a fish swallow him, and God did these things to discipline Jonah. Why? Because he loved him, and to save him, and to save others through him. The purpose for discipline from God is so he might save us. Point number 10. Jesus' hands are hands of intercession. The Bible tells us that Christ is our intercessor. John 17, when Jesus prayed, who is he praying for? Is he spending all of his time saying, Father, I don't know if I can handle the cross. I'm afraid of the whipping and the beating, and I hear that they're going to pull out my beard and whatever else was coming. No, but what does Jesus focus his prayer on? He's praying for the apostles. He is praying for their unity. He is interceding on their behalf. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save unto the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he is always making intercession for them. He's making intercession for us too. When you pray for the forgiveness of your sins, where is Jesus right now? He's in the heavenly temple, right? Do the hands of Jesus have scars? We know that because even when he came forth with his glorified body, he still bore the scars, and he will always have them. The only man-made things in heaven are the scars in the Savior's hands and in his side. And Jesus is holding out his nail-scarred hands, and he is interceding for us through his hands. There is a story of this mother living in South Florida, right near the edge of a lake. And I have been to Florida and stayed in a hotel right on a lake. And I can bear testimony that there are alligators in the water there, big ones watching every move. Anyway, her boy wandered too close to the edge of the lake, and this alligator that was just under the surface lunged out and got a hold of the boy's legs. And the boy was kicking and screaming and clawing for the shore as this alligator was pulling him off into the water. And the mother heard the shouts, and she ran out of the kitchen and got a hold of her son just as he was getting into the water. Once again, or once an alligator gets you into the water, they spin you around, drown you, and then there's not much hope. And she knew that, and she got a hold of her son's hands. Well, the alligator wasn't going to let go, and the mother wasn't going to let go either. So here she got her son's hands with her hands, and her fingernails may have been a little long. She is pulling one way. She is having this tug of war with the alligator, and she is screaming, and the man who lived next door is a fisherman. He grabbed his rifle and he ran out and shot the alligator. Well, the boy's legs had scars on them, and he went to the hospital, and they were treating the scar on his legs, and the boy said, "Yeah, but look at the scars my mom put on my hands." The alligator wouldn't let go, but mom wouldn't let go either. And the scars that he got from his mom's hands on his hands were forever a reminder that mom wouldn't let go. Wow. The Lord is interceding for you and me, and the scars are there to remind us that Jesus doesn't let go easy, does he? Our God is a God of love. Point number 11. Jesus' hands are hands of recognition. Hands of recognition. You cannot be saved without knowing the Lord. The Bible says Jesus is known by his hands. John 20:20. When he said this after he rose from the dead, they didn't believe that it was him. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They recognized him by his hands. John 20:25. The other disciple said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So what did Thomas say? "Unless I see his hands and put in the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." You may remember the story of being on the road to Emmaus when Jesus was walking down the road, Luke 24:13. And he meets the disciples the resurrection afternoon, and the sun is going down, and as they were walking down the road, he said, "Why are you so down?" What are these sad communications? They said, "You're a stranger. You don't know all these things. Or don't you know all these things that have happened?" Jesus said, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus, who was crucified and rose again." He said, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken, beginning in Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself." That would have been quite a lecture, wouldn't it? The Bible says they didn't recognize him, and when they got to their home, they said, "You know, it is almost evening, and their hearts have been warmed and burning by the things that he had said." He obviously knew the scriptures about the Messiah. They said, "We don't want to let you go. We want you come in, and you talk to us," and they invited him in. This is where we get the song, "Abide with Me, Fast Falls the Eventide." They said, "It is evening, come in, abide with us." So he sat down, and the Bible said he broke the bread. They said, "Why don't you have the blessing?" And as he broke the bread, and they saw his hands, they knew him. The Bible says they knew him because of his hands, and they knew him because of the way that he broke the bread. Then he disappeared. Later on, they met him in the upper room. Christ is known by his hands. We are told that we would be wise to spend a thoughtful hour meditating on the life of Christ, in particular, the closing scenes. The closing scenes are where he received the marks in his hands. Point number 12. The hands of Jesus are the hands of salvation. His hands save. Matthew 14:31. And immediately when Jesus saw that Peter was sinking, he stretched out his hand and he caught him. He said, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know the story. Peter was sinking in the water because he took his eyes off of Jesus and became preoccupied with the storm and maybe a little bragging to his friends. And as he is going down, he reached up his hand and says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately heard that prayer, and he reached out his hand and pulled him up out of the stormy wave, and they walked back to the boat, hand in hand. Isaiah 62:3 says, "You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God." God is saving the world through Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes through the hands of Jesus. You remember the thief on the cross? Even though Jesus' hands and feet were nailed to the cross, the devil couldn't keep Jesus from saving with his hands, could he? When the thief said, Lord, remember me, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. The hands of the Lord could still save, even though they were nailed to the cross. As a matter of fact, his hands were even more effective in saving than any other time. God saved the world through the hands of Christ. That is why it is important that you and I can learn to trust the hands of the Lord. It makes a big difference whose hands we are in. Amen. A rod in my hand might keep away an angry dog. A rod in Moses' hand will part the mighty sea. It depends on whose hands it is in. A baseball bat in my hand is worth $49. A baseball bat in Aaron Judge's hands is worth $49 million per year. It depends on whose hands it is in. A basketball in my hands is worth about $89. A basketball in Stephen Curry's hands is worth about $45 million per year. It depends on whose hands it is in. A driving iron in Rory McIlroy's hands can hit a ball hundreds of yards. A driving iron in my hands is a dangerous weapon. It depends on whose hands it is in. A tennis racket in my hands can hit a ball out of the court, but a tennis racket in Novak Djokovic's hand is a Wimbledon champion. It depends on whose hands it's in. A sling in my hands is a careless thing, but a sling in David's hands is a mighty weapon. It depends on whose hands it is in. Two fish and five loaves in my hands is a few sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves of bread in Jesus' hands will feed thousands. It depends on whose hands are in. Nails in my hands can hang a picture. Nails in Jesus' hands will prove salvation to the entire world. It depends on whose hands are in. You can see everything depends on whose hands it is in. The Bible tells us that we must learn to cast our cares upon Him. Do you know how many times a day you put your hands in the hands of another human being? That was really staggering to me, how many times. But they cannot get you to heaven, and that is eternal life. But if you want to go to heaven, and you got to put yourself and your trust in the hands of God. God is desperate to touch you and me. He wants our attention. He wants to teach us to trust Him. It makes a big difference whose hands you're in, because if you're not in the hands of Jesus, you are in the devil's hands. You need to place all that you have and all that you are in the hands of Jesus and trust Him. Amen. Amen. Eloise one time told me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to peg Jesus. I'm going to hold His hand, His nail-scarred hand, for years and years. And I said, that's okay, Eloise. I'm going to do that too. We have eternity. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the hands that you have given us through your Son, Jesus, that has provided salvation and all these other benefits for us. We don't even know the beginnings of them. There's way more than 12. But we thank you for all that we know of. And we ask you to send your Holy Spirit to guide us in your path, that we may make it to heaven with you forever. In thy holy name, amen.